Dennis Farrell going to join me on the line here in just one moment. You can follow him on Twitter. It's at Dennis77Farrell. Now, Dennis, I used to work with him back in Detroit. He is a fantasy football whiz. He also runs a pretty sweet wrestling podcast. It is, well, you know what? Let's get Dennis on, and I'll let him tell you about it himself. Dennis joins me on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and again, on Twitter, at Dennis77Farrell. Hi, Dennis.
I feel like you have portrayed me as a man who lives in a fantasy land that likes nothing real.
And?
It's true. I'm just making an observation there.
Yeah, let's be honest. How you been, dude?
I'm all right, man. I miss you here.
I know. I miss you guys as well. But Cleveland rocks, so.
It does. I heard that once on the TV show.
I'm having fun. Dennis, real quick. Well, where should we go with this? Just tell me real quick about the wrestling podcast, because I know you're really excited about it. You got Chris Jericho on this week, right?
I do, yes. I host it with WWE's own James Ellsworth. I do one with the Canadian Destroyer, Petey Williams. All on one feed, WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com.
Very nice. Very nice stuff. I had you on because I want to talk about fantasy football. You were our fantasy expert when I was working in Detroit, and I'm getting ready for fantasy football season, and I want to know from you, first and foremost, who should be the top pick? And, of course, let's do this entire interview will be based on 12-team standard leagues, okay?
Good. I like that. I'm still going with Le'Veon Bell. Everybody loves Todd Gurley, but he has an MO of being inconsistent. One good year, one bad year, one good year. I'm not sold that Todd Gurley lives up to his potential that he hit last season. I think, you know, I'm going back. I look at his numbers, the way he's being drafted. He's being drafted as the number one overall running back right now. I think he will hit his rushing yard totals, but I'm not a big fan of him being involved in that passing game as he was last season.
Why is that?
Well, the wide receiver core is way better now.
Right.
You've got Brandon Cooks. I think that's going to be the go-to guy. Last season, what was it? A lot of people are projecting him to have almost 70 catches again this year. I just can't see that. I think 50 would be tops if he has more than that. Color me pink, but I just don't see that. The guy is going, they're going to conserve with him. And you look at his passing totals of the receiving over the last couple of years, they've done nothing but go up by 20 per year. He cannot maintain that kind of potential. 2015, 21, 2016, 43, 2017, 64. He's hit the ceiling, and I think you're going to see regression.
Dennis, when you're talking about Le'Veon Bell, it's so difficult to figure out because it really does feel like this is the last year he'll be in Pittsburgh. And I can't figure out how that affects his fantasy value. Does that mean they're going to give him the ball 315 times and say we're getting every last bit out of you? Or could you see it going the other way? Explain Le'Veon Bell as your number one overall player to me.
Well, the problem is they have no one behind them, so they're going to ride him like a horse. If you look, this could be the last year everybody's together. You have an age in Ben Roethlisberger. You have a Le'Veon Bell that's getting older and may move on to another team. Brown is going to still be there, and he's still the safe pick. I wouldn't worry about him. But they're going to ride him until his legs fall off. This is a guy that can catch. He can run. I wouldn't be shocked if he had almost 1,400 yards, 700 receiving yards. This is contract year in NFL is always the gold year. You know it as well as I do. Players ball out in contract years. And this is, Le'Veon Bell's get paid year from somebody.
But it won't be Pittsburgh. We're pretty confident in that. Dennis Farrell with me. We're talking fantasy football here, 92.3 The Fan. All right, so the next group, right? We mentioned Bell. You got Gurley. I think if somebody takes David Johnson or Zeke Elliott first overall, or even Kamara or maybe even Kareem Hunt, you're not going to go, you're crazy. Saquon Barkley, I realize, is highly ranked. From the next crop down, like the next 8 to 10 guys, Dalvin Cook on down, Melvin Gordon, Fournette, McCaffrey, McCoy, Freeman, McKinnon, Mixon, Howard, one of those guys who could potentially lead the league in rushing this year, who you think has like home run threat that you would recommend taking a swing on a little bit later in the first round?
absolutely Delvin Cook. Right now, he has an average draft position of 12th overall. You can make a case of taking him at number 8 overall, depending on the scoring of your league. One of the guys that's going really low and I think has super, I don't want to use the word sleeper potential, but out of that group is Joe Mixon, who's going the 6th pick in the 2nd round. I could make a case for taking him in the number 1 pick in the 2nd round, maybe the number 3 pick, depending on if Beckham or Julio Jones is still around. I think Jerick McKinnon has a chance to be sleeper potential in San Francisco. Then you start getting down into those tier 3 running backs where you know what you're going to get, and you may not find a sleeper or a home run pick out of those guys.
Yeah, and as I, whenever I'm doing mock drafts, as I get into that tier, Dennis, I kind of like Ajayi this year, but as you get down into, the Deion Lewis's of the world, I'm going, boy, I wish I, you have to make sure you get your two backs with your first two picks, don't you? I mean, I realize that it feels like that's my strategy every year, but God, because there's so many timeshares now, it feels like if you don't get two guys who you know are the guys, then you're really just kind of taking stabs in the dark.
It depends on the way you draft. I don't mind taking, depending on if I have the top 4 pick. If I have anything past 4, I can make a case for taking an Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins or maybe even Odell Beckham. But, if I'm going wide receiver, early in the first 2 rounds, the 3rd and 4th round, I'm definitely going back-to-back running backs. You can find some fool's gold kind of in that group. You can – the 7th round, you got Tavon Coleman going. I know Williams out of Green Bay just had a little ankle injury, but he's a 7th round running back right now. You can still him up. Look, I like Carlos Hyde. I really do. I know that he's getting a bad knock in the fantasy world, but in the 7th round, I'll take a stab at him any day.
Well, and here's a good point, Dennis, is I'm not sure with a guy like Carlos Hyde, who comes in on a short-term deal, and the team obviously drafted Nick Chubb. If there's one thing I know, the Browns aren't going to run Nick Chubb into the ground this year. They're going to try to protect that guy. He's the future at that position. And so I do think Carlos Hyde gets the first crack at it and probably a pretty good share of that timeshare here in Cleveland. And, when you look at groups of running backs, and everybody sort of has an identified role like Duke Johnson does and like Nick Chubb does in terms of being the future, I think that's what you have to identify. You have to identify guys who have a clear role and that you know who are going to be utilized. As you look around at teams with big explosive offenses, I mentioned timeshares all over the place. We all know, drafting running backs that play for the Patriots, for instance, are going to drive you nuts, but at times can be a really, really wise decision. What are some teams that you expect to have big offenses, but you expect to absolutely drive fantasy owners crazy in terms of the backfield committee, backfields by committees that you're kind of steering clear of?
Boy, I don't know if you can still call Denver a big offense, but that's one of those backfields that I'm probably steering clear of. The Mark Ingram situation, I might like him a little bit more now that he's dropping in a lot of drafts. Mm. Lamar Miller, there's another situation where people don't love Lamar Miller, and I'm not sure why.
I know, Dennis, I know why. You want to know why? Because what? 2 years ago we were told, everybody overdrafted him, and now people have been burnt by him. And it's so funny with fantasy. People get burnt 1 year. I spent the whole first hour of the show talking about Dez Bryant and how I don't want him in a Browns uniform. And part of that is just because he burnt me fantasy-wise last year. I feel like that's what happened with Lamar Miller, and you bring up a great point. He's probably very undervalued now because of that.
I think Sean Alexander back in the Seattle days where people were drafting him number 1 overall, then he had that broken hand and hurt foot and
right.
He fell off the face. He was the catalyst for starting that. But Lamar Miller is just one of those guys that I think can have 1,000 yards rushing. He could almost hit 150, maybe 160 fantasy points depending on the scoring of your league. And Lamar Miller is going in the 4th round right now. And I think that's utter disrespect to the guy.
I love it. I think you're 100% right. I really like Lamar Miller as, do you call him a sleeper? I don't know, but he's certainly being undervalued based on everything I'm seeing. Dennis Farrell joining me. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. It's at Dennis77Farrell. He is a fantasy whiz and does an excellent job with his wrestling podcast. What's it called again, Dennis?
WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com.
Yeah, beautiful.
Can't wait to have you come on and talk some wrestling with me.
I don't know if I can do that. We can talk about something else if you want me to. A couple more before I get you out of here, Dennis. I haven't watched in a long time. We can talk about old school wrestlers, and I'll give you my thoughts on Jim the Anvil Neidhart if you want.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to act cool in front of your new fan base, like. It's like high school, you know. You go to a new school and you're trying to be cooler than you really are. Dude, I know you. I know the wrestling Jake Chapman.
You know, okay? I'm not cool, but you also know that, yeah, wrestling Jake Chapman. Like, if you want to talk ECW, we can get into it. But these new kids, man, I don't know what they're doing these days, and I feel like the old guy telling people to get off my lawn. Tell me about quarterbacks. Who's going to be the sleeper quarterback? Because if you're reaching on a quarterback, you're really doing yourself a disservice, depending on the way your league is scored. There are so many. Every year, there's about four or five quarterbacks that you can get really late in the draft, and they're going to give you really big numbers. Who do you like this year?
I don't know if this is going to be the year. This is, I feel like, the year of the mediocre quarterback. That middle round, which we all were dependent on, now is so murky with so many questions. Yet, you know, you have guys like Mariota. I don't quite trust him. I don't trust Jared Goff into having a big year. Dak Prescott isn't very trustworthy. Maybe you can go back to the Matt Ryan chain and be all right, but do you pin all your fantasy hopes on the Jimmy Garoppolo? I can't. Andrew Luck? I can't. Alex Smith in Washington? I don't know what to expect. This is that year where I'm really worried that these middle-round quarterbacks that we've decided that, hey, I can wait till the seventh round and pick up a Matthew Stafford and I'm going to be all right. Those guys aren't going to be there this year. If it's the sixth round and I don't have a quarterback, I might be a little bit worried. Carson Palmer should see some regression because he's not going to run around the field like they let him last season.
Wentz.
Matthew Stafford will be, I think, you know, what we know Matthew Stafford as. He's not going to win you fantasy leagues on his own. He might be the only guy in the seventh round I can probably go, he's safer than all those guys I mentioned, maybe outside of Matt Ryan. But I'm okay if this year, you know, in the third or fourth round, you take a Deshaun Watson or a Drew Brees. Cam Newton, here's a guy that's going in the fifth and sixth rounds that finishes the last 3 years, number four overall quarterback. He's the girl in the teen rom-coms where they put the lipstick on the nerdy girl and then make the bet on who can take her to the prom, and at the end she's all brokenhearted. That's Cam Newton. People don't like him, but he finishes in the top five fantasy every year in quarterback stats.
What is that movie?
10 Things I Hate About You?
Right, okay, yeah.
You outed me.
Just wanted to make sure. No, I'm too cool to know about movies like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, me too.
And pro wrestling. All right, Dennis, great to hear your voice, man. Hopefully everything is going well, and we should do this again sometime.
You call me. Don't be a stranger.
I got you, brother. He is Dennis Farrell on Twitter, at Dennis77Farrell, and he joined me, as all guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And again, make sure you check out Dennis's wrestling podcast if you're into that sort of thing. It is WrestlingPerspectivePodcast.com.